We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The destination for Boston sports fans.
Sports Radio 93.7. WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station. He's a Boston sports super fan.
What's up, Nick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense. Tell her what you wish now.
Now I wish he fell.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
Name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
What's going on, New England? Megan Ottolini here with Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Hart. We are just over 7 hours from kickoff, your wild card game against the Buffalo Bills in the frozen tundra. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
7 hours, 14 minutes until Emperor Belichick and the Evil Empire 2.0 take to Hoth to battle the rival Buffalo Bills. With a -3 real feel, Mego, I am oddly comfortable and confident in the New England Patriots from where I sit remotely right now. Quiet, Andy. The adults are talking.
Well, first of all, you're not an adult. I love when you say that because I would consider you the least adult-like in the room. Secondly, okay, that's a great way to start.
I pay two mortgages. I'm adult enough.
I was going to say, we're going to get into the weather talk because it does have an impact on this game. Not as much as the first game in the trifecta that we're seeing between these two teams, but the weather will have an impact, I believe. But before we get to that, I do want to open, Nick, you jumped off for us there. Your prediction for this game and what you think the key is going to be. So Fitzy, you can get us started because I know that you're going to get us started on a positive note, which will be nice because then Andy will come in and he'll crap all over it.
You call it positive, I call it fiction.
I'll bring the reasonable slant so you can start us off.
Okay, I'll begin tonight by saying for the better part of several weeks, or at least since December 26th, when Josh Allen put on a legendary, if not epic, performance in the balmy temperatures post-Christmas of 47 degrees at Gillette Stadium, where Mac Jones, sadly, and the New England Patriots had a losing record this year. I'll tell you, I thought that was it. The tables had been turned, tilted in Buffalo's favor. It was over. Paper champions, not badly enough as they were when they were 2-4, but not as good as they were when they won 7 straight. I thought there was no chance in hell that the Patriots would possibly ever be able to keep up with Buffalo. It was the last team I wanted to see come playoffs. And then this week, for some reason, everything seemingly going against the Patriots, more injuries, Jalen Mills with the COVID, Josh Allen now admitting he's got numb toes.
When does he get to the confidence?
Wait, but
shut up, Andy.
We only have three hours, blabbermouth.
When you say the COVID, it really taps in. Like, I feel like I'm talking to my grandfather if he was still alive. He's got the COVID.
He's an old soul.
He's got the COVID and whatnot. That's the way I set it up. Long and short of it, for some reason, I'm oddly confident the Patriots, mostly thanks to Bill Belichick, some epic game plans in postseasons past, and the freezing temperatures will be able to, I won't say keep up with the Bills, they'll be able to slow down Buffalo enough to give them the best chance they would have against any other AFC team in the playoffs tonight. Spoiler alert, I do think the Patriots will win. Am I prepared for Buffalo to win? Yes. Will I be that upset by it? No, because it's a successful season. And as you'll read, Andy, when I contributed to your little blog, WEEI.com, earlier this morning, you treat it that way. Thank you, McFarlane Energy, for putting his big face McFarlane on there Energy. Every day. We love McFarlane Energy. Thank you so much. Mego, I think a lot of Patriots fans today need to embrace the new New England and undergo a paradigm shift in how we think about the Patriots, and especially the Patriots in the postseason. It's not Tom Brady anymore. It's not AFC Championship or Super Bowl or bust. It's, hey, we made it. We're kind of like everyone else now. Let's try to enjoy this and have some fun. Huh?
So you're lowering your expectations is right. What you're
that
saying.
That whole world salad. Just boil
word
down
salad.
To, yeah, world salad.
World salad.
I'm going world salad. It's bigger. Boil down to, he's oddly confident because Bill Belichick's the coach was really all I took from all those words. And yet he's rationalizing it's okay if they lose. It was a good year. You don't sound oddly confident. You sound
Andy's
torn.
So mean this morning.
I don't think I'm mean. I'm honest.
I should say this afternoon. It's closer to
honest.
Morning
it's
for
close
me
enough.
Than
close
afternoon.
Enough.
You know, the funny thing was I was enjoying my day thoroughly, just going about my business, preparing for the game, preparing for today's show, slants, takes, analysis, some stats that I'll sprinkle throughout the show. Plenty of corny jokes for our listenership as well.
Oh, we know. We've done this before.
And yet Andy, for some reason, has decided today is the day I need to make sure that just because I was late getting to the station today, that I have to crap all over everybody else's playoff enjoyment.
Well, somebody pissed all over Andy's waffles this morning, so why don't you give us your take on what's going to happen tonight?
So I am open to anyone. I said this with Mutt last night. I said it with Maloney.
We're talking
Poirier.
About football. Not
oh, then everyone must
life.
Have heard it.
No, not that. I am open to anyone that can sell me on a really good script for the Patriots to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still waiting. Because you know what most people do? They do the fitsy. Yeah, Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And yeah, they're going to win. Yeah. Yeah, I have faith, kind of. Because to me, everything for the last month from the Patriots points to they lose this game. And I'm sorry, but they're not playing well. Their young quarterback's not playing well. They're not healthy on either side of the ball. They're going to be missing key contributors on both sides of the ball. The other team is playing well. The other team seems to be flipping their script and going playoff mode. Yep, we're going to get Devin Singletary involved. People said we couldn't run. We're running the ball more. Josh Allen, running more. He's doing what he does when the games matter more. Last time he played you, I would actually argue, last time he played you, he played awesome. And the time
that was like the performance of the season for him, absolutely.
Maybe his career. I actually listened to the Locked On Bills podcast.
I was going to say that, but then I felt a little gross.
Me too, but I listened to the Locked On Bills podcast, which I assume they know his career better than I know his career. They've watched every game. They said that was the best performance of his career. But the one before that, In the Wind, I actually thought he played fine.
He was. He was very solid in that.
If his teammates had played as well as he played, I think the Bills win that football game, but they didn't. I thought, at the very least, he was solid. So all of the, and they got a little bit of the big brother, little brother thing off their back in December.
Sure, so, and maybe his offensive coordinator should have coached a better game in December because Daboll was way too conservative and played right into Belichick's hands.
Was he conservative when he hit Stephon Diggs in the forearm in the end zone for a touchdown and he dropped it?
That was in the second half. I said the first half.
Those points count either way. Second half, first half points count either half.
I say.
They count either half when you score them. And if he catches that, the Bills win. And we're talking about this whole thing differently. Bill was dubbed a genius. Sean McDermott was dubbed a moron. Josh Allen, the whole thing. But my point is, every factor I look at other than just pure Patriots and Bill We Trust faith tells me that the Bills are going to win this football game.
It's kind of, though, when you pose it that way with the Bill Belichick factor, you do make the whole coaching matchup as if it's like, well, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Because he is the greatest coach in NFL history. So you can't yada yada the game plan, particularly when you're going into what is going to be inclement weather.
Can I have a retort to that?
Yes.
I actually think, and Fitzy's going to get so mad at this.
No, I heard your take on Thursday afternoon. This is one of Bill Belichick's worst coaching jobs. I understand, Andy, because he had all this talent. They spent all this money. They somehow can't get out of their own way. When did they have three punts blocked over the previous 20 years? Yada, yada, yada. We've all heard it before. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so it's the worst coach team of the Belichick era, in my opinion. So you're hanging your hat on.
No, I think that's 2000. That they had more talent in 2009.
No, the guys in that locker room sucked in 2009. They have never had such a me-first locker room. That was all players.
To be able to get those people to play better and get more than 10 wins, that was a disaster.
Yeah, the personnel was a disaster that year. Yes, Belichick, the GM, was actually blew that season.
Perhaps last year may have been a better coaching job, Andy, between 2000, the 2 years post-Tom Brady. Perhaps last year, because it was cleaner football, minus Cam Newton skipping stones to his receivers, it was by and large cleaner football. There was less self-destructive plays on offense, defense, and especially special teams. And I don't think we can all just play the let's point fingers at Cam Acord game, because it's not just him.
No.
There's a bit of a coaching deficit. There's been massive attrition on special teams, coordinators, like half the NFL now. We talk about the Bill Belichick coaching tree, head coach wise.
They're not that great. Half of them are unemployed now.
Yeah, most of them are unemployed. But however, a lot of the coordinators are gainfully employed in coordinator capacities. You know, your Boyers, your Dayballs, et cetera. They're doing just fine in other places. It just happens to be head coach wise. They've had some issues. I don't think this is his greatest head coaching job by any stretch, Andy, but I will always give him the benefit of the doubt. In an environment like this, in the playoffs, the Patriots rarely get blown out in the playoffs. Yes, it did happen once in the wild card round at home on a cold day in January, but they rarely get blown out. And given the conditions and who they're playing, I give them a chance to be competitive. And that's all I, as fan, not as person arguing with you on the radio right now to everyone's delight, that's all I could ask for.
I'm going to raise another point here before Andy opens his mouth again, because I saw him starting to open the mouth.
No. I give him a chance to be competitive over there. Too.
The other point I want to make is on this team's offense, because I've lost a ton of faith in them. Everything that they've been doing, with the exception of the Jags game, which was more of a scrimmage than anything else at this point in the season, mm-hmm. they've been going in fits and starts. Anytime that they start, that they make a big play, that they start to get some momentum going on the ground, we've seen them shoot themselves in the foot with a penalty or something else just as half-baked and just dumbfounded. And I think that going into this game, one of the keys for Josh McDaniels is going to be able to get Mac Jones into the game flow that he described to us this week over Zoom, because we're not allowed to be in the same room with him anymore, except on game days for some reason. But he told
There's
us
no
that
the COVID on game days.
He's talked about this. He's talked about this going back to when he was when he was competing with Cam Newton. And he would say that he gets into this game flow. And we've seen him just be, it looks like, rushing through his progressions, having no patience, going immediately to the check down rather than trying to make plays. And I think even though a lot of this game is going to come down to the ground because of the way that the weather is going to be, you can't be running it on every first and second down and then potentially putting your quarterback in a position where he's going to be 3rd and 8 every time. And so I think for Josh McDaniels, it's going to take some of that creativity, throwing the kitchen sink, doing the silly little trickery that we sometimes mock him for or get excited about.
Depends whether it works.
Exactly. Depends the outcome. But you're going to need balance in the offense and not just leaning on this defense, which we know are the adults in the room on this team.
Mego, I said my big thing all week long, wherever I had a chance to talk without someone else stepping on my words. My point for tonight was, I think the Patriots have a really good chance of hanging in this game. I love the whole get Mac involved in the game flow early. If Mac Jones, like, he only attempted 3 passes in the now famous Monday night game 6-7 weeks ago in Buffalo. If Mac Jones can complete 3 to 5, when I say big time passes, I'm not talking about some PFF or some next gen analytics stat or something.
You're talking about, like, in situations like hitting Kendrick Bourne up across the middle when you're against the Cowboys late in the game, correct?
Yes, or just on 2nd and 1 play action, and just when they think he's going to, like, hand off to Stevenson, student body left, he looks downfield and goes 30 yards play action to Nelson Agholor and softens up the Bills defense, who now can't cheat up on the line. If Matt can, yes, exactly, Mego. If he can complete 3 to 5 of those passes tonight, he'll actually be a contributor and not just, for Wiggy's sake, a passenger in tonight's game plan in the wild card.
Andy?
Yeah, I would. I've been saying all week I would do Damian Harris first play of the game, and then I would do play action bomb to either Bourne or Agholor, because I agree with you 100%. I think they need to feel good. I think Mac needs to feel good early, get some early momentum, and not the dink and dunk feel good. That's usually the cliche. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's roll him out and throw a little short. No, we know he can do that. He knows he can do that. I think you need some emotional offensive energy for your quarterback, your receivers early in this game. Now, it could fall incomplete, and then I'd I don't know what you do, but I'm hoping you hit a big play early to ignite some life in the offense.
There's a lack of chemistry between the offense, and there have been just too many drives towards the tail end of this season when they make it all the way down the field and they don't even get points on the board because of a silly turnover or something else stupid, yep. And you end up punting.
Mistakes.
Anyway, we see your calls. We will get to you in the next segment. We're going to be talking Pats all the way up to 4 o'clock. All the way up, I'm sure, on this radio station until tonight's
game. So we're the
game.
Lead in to the lead-in.
The lead-in to the lead-in.
Yeah!
Until then, first, let's get to trending.
Mac Jones joins Maroney and Fourier every Patriots Monday.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. As we just said, Super Wild Card Weekend kicks off today. The Raiders are traveling to Cincinnati to take on my guy, Joe Burrow. Big fan all of a sudden of Joe Burrow at 4:30. And then the Patriots, as we've been alluding to, and we'll break down the next 3 hours, in Buffalo, 8:15 to take on Josh Allen in the Bills. Patriots have ruled out starting tackle Isaiah Wynn. They have 12 players listed as questionable. Jalen Mills remains in COVID protocol. And it's looking quite unlikely that you will see Jalen Mills because he was not activated as of yesterday. So for the secondary. As for the Bills, they have no players listed on their injury report, so they're at full health. If they lose, they can't blame health. They can blame the cold. Celtics had their 3-game win streak snapped last night in a 111-99 loss to the 76ers in a game that was put away early, I'll say, courtesy of a 28-2 first quarter run by the 76ers. Celtics,
did you watch any of that?
Thankfully,
it was a
no. They turned the ball over 20 times.
It was horrible.
Talking about poorly coached, the Seas will return back home to take on the Chicago Bulls at the Garden tonight. Tip-off is set for 8:30. Everybody, I'm sure, will be watching that.
Yeah, I'm actually really annoyed because I had that one circled on the calendar because the Bulls are so fun this year. I was excited to watch them, but no, I'm going to watch every down of the Patriots.
Oh, it'll also be a better game because, you know, as I said earlier, three lines up. They turned the ball over 20 times in the losing effort, and they gave up a 28-2 run. The Bruins will look to build on their 4-game win streak this afternoon as they take on the Nashville Predators. They are actually playing as we speak. We will get you a score update in the next trending because it's not here on my script. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
I'm Andy Hart.
Well, I don't have it on a monitor, and it's not on the paper before me. If I had a mountain, I would have told you it, but I had a paper that didn't have the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More Boston sports talk now. This is Fissy and Mego on EEI.
Yeah, Greg, it's going to be bitter in Orchard Park on Saturday night. In fact, right at kickoff, which is around 8:15, we're already going to see temperatures drop back into the single digits. Should be around 7 at the start of the game. It'll probably be closer to 0 by the time the game wraps up. Now, remember that first game in Buffalo earlier in the season? Winds were a big issue. They will not be quite as big of an issue this time around, but still just enough of a breeze to make it feel more like it's below 0 there in Orchard Park.
Yeah, well, I think the most important thing for me is, I don't know why I got bad circulation within my feet. My toes get really cold and they go numb a little bit, so it's keeping those suckers as warm and as dry as possible, as well as the hands. Obviously, that's a big emphasis for quarterbacks. You need your hands to throw, so keeping those extremities as warm as possible. I'm not a big sleeve guy. I think it hurts in the run game in terms of holding on to the football, and I've learned that throughout the course of my career so far.
Not a big sleeve guy. Sleeveless Saturday. Sleeveless Saturday. According to Diana Rossini, we have a sleeveless Saturday over in Orchard Park where it's going to feel like below zero for most of the game, and then it's supposed to drop down to zero by the fourth quarter.
It's going to be cold, as whatever cliche you want to use is, because I saw poor Mike Giardiardi out there, and he looked cold already, and he was
he wasn't wearing a hat. So yeah, he was being a little bit of a hardo.
And
the hair always looks good for him, so we wanted to show it off. Before we get to that, it is Fitzy and Mego here with Andy Hart. Give us a call at 617-779-7937. We are previewing the preview of Patriots-Bills from 1 to 4 today. So give us a call. Hit us up on the chat line. Give us a Twitter tweets.
Careful.
Twitter tweet.
You really hit us up on the chat line. I didn't know it was a chat line.
Chat line. Isn't that what it is?
Now who sounds like they're in a 1960s movie with Jack Lemmon?
Yeah, you just got old all of a sudden during that break. Hit us up on the chat line and
just grew a long
Twitter us on that Twitter thing and just contact
us. Hit us up on the Instagram DMs. Let us know what you think. We're gonna get into weather talk now. That's where
can I get into not so much the weather, because the weather is what it is, and the lack of a wind, I think the weather becomes mental. I think Trent Brown nailed the hell out of it. It becomes mental. And I believe that even more so talking to our resident NFL tight end who played in the Titans playoff game, one of the coldest games in Patriots history, Christian Fourier. And he talked about all week he freaked out. He was going to a different ski shop every day after practice to find tricks.
He's from California, though.
Right. But some of these guys are. I don't know. Damian Harris. He played it.
Josh Allen.
He's
from California.
So this idea that it's an aspect in the game. No, I think it's an aspect pregame. How you approach it. What do you psych yourself out? Because Christian said, this is his quote, "I was afraid of the football." He thought it was going to be cold and heavy and hard, and he wasn't. I'm a pass catcher.
Hurt to catch.
And then he got out there and he was like, "Oh, it's a football. I can catch this." He realized in pregame warmups he'd be okay. And that was a game where Brady threw the ball all over the field 40-something times. Fourier caught 3 passes, and you move past it. You know what I don't love if I'm a Bills fan? I can switch my negativity now. Your $250 million franchise, gunslinging, jump-on-my-back boys QB has done nothing but talk about the cold and his feet and his sleeves and his shut up. I can't say shut up and dribble. Wrong sport. Shut up and throw or run. You're supposed to be the tough guy gunslinger for the Buffalo Bills. No one wants to hear about your circulation issues or your Viagra or your anything else you do to get past it.
Well, Bart Scott brought that up, but it's interesting that you made the point about Christian, because Matt Perino from Syracuse.com, I don't know if that's attached to a paper, but he had this interesting little tidbit about, does Josh Allen need to take a little off his throws in freezing cold?
Yes.
Stephon Diggs thinks so. This is something that Diggs said to Bills players. I was looking for the audio. I couldn't find it. But according to this article, Diggs said to Buffalo reporters this week, "I dropped a touchdown the other week in Atlanta. He was zipping that ball. I was like, look, give me a little easy one. He just got a strong arm. He can't help it." Now, Stephon Diggs is actually from my hometown, outside Gaithersburg, Maryland, only Maryland, and doesn't get quite as cold down there quite as regularly. And so could that be an area where Mac Jones actually has the benefit over Josh Allen? Because we've seen at different points much, much earlier, particularly his rookie year in Josh Allen's career, where he can't take any heat off of the ball. And we hear so much about how Mac Jones, he can feather it to someone. He throws such a catchable ball. He has such a great touch.
Well, I would just argue he can't throw it as hard as Josh Allen. So by nature, he won't throw
a fastball.
But
you're not throwing the wind into the wind like you were in the first game.
No. My point is he doesn't throw fastballs ever because he doesn't have a great arm.
But I'm talking about tonight.
Yeah, that is my point. He throws a natural, softer pass, whereas Josh Allen, it's hard for a guy to do it however many games he's played in his career, 100 games, and say, oh, by the way, this one I need you to do it differently because it hurts the hands of the receivers. It's going to deflect off. We're going to get a tipped pick six interception. Like, for the best interest of the team, it's hard for a guy to change the way he plays the game when he's been doing it for so long. So I do think Mac's touch can be of value. He may throw a better catchable football for his receivers. If that's enough to, give an advantage to the Patriots, I'm more so interested in literally Stephon Diggs is worried that his quarterback's going to throw the ball too hard. Like that. So now we have the receiver talking negative and the quarterback talking negative about this game. Why is there so much negative talk coming out of a team that I think should be coronating themselves like AFC East team to beat forever? We just made the Patriots our you-know-what again. They seem to be lacking confidence going into this game.
Fitzy?
what Andy said.
All right, let's go to the phones. I see you guys lined up. We will get Shane in Connecticut. Shane, you're on.
Hey, Mega 50. This is my favorite show on the...
Hey, Shane, how are you?
Yeah, used to be mine, too.
Andy's good. Here, too.
I don't get to be in the open, but I'm here. They make me work.
Right, Andy. You get everyone fired up. I got you. Anyway, I'm on my way down to Maryland now. Your old stomping grounds, Mego.
Lucky.
You're looking for the script, Andy.
Yes.
Andy, the script, just remember, you might not remember it, Andy, but the Bills fans, I'm sure somewhere in their DNA, they remember Belichick came up with the game plan to beat the K-Gun offense back in 92 and the old field goal going wide right at the end. Tonight, I think with the cold, I think Nick Folk, he'll be our biggest advantage. And the game could come down to a kick. I think I like his chances there. Mack throws a nice drop in the bucket throw. I think Jacoby Myers is going to have a bigger game. I mean, Steph Diggs, like you said, he's got all the stats during the year, but he's talking about short-armed passes. He's afraid of the cold. I mean, come on. Our fans are all driving up there in busloads to go root the team on in the cold. Those Bills, they got to come. And anyway, enjoy, guys. I'm loving the talk and all the fans driving up north. Keep it up. Let's go.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Shane. Yeah, I think he is on to something. I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, we always try to do this, and sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, predict game plans and approaches. But I think you very much want to run the football. That's the heart of who you are offensively. And it's weird, but I think you want to force them to run the football. So I think you want to put these defensive backs that no one's ever heard of, Bousby, put them on the field.
Your defense has been so bad against the run if they get the run going.
They're setting them up. They want them to run the ball. And then you're just going to have to make a key play. So just shorten the game. You run it. So you're running it. The clock is running. Josh Allen comes to the line. Oh, they got six DBs on the field. Smart quarterback play here. I know my rules. Brian Daboll's taught me. If we get to this situation, run the football. Give it to Singletary. Run, run, run. Clock is running. Score stays down. Who has a better chance to win? Patriots. I think that gives... We've seen all the numbers. The Bills don't win a lot of close games. They usually blow people out. So is that the approach? Is that the script I'd like to see? Yes. I also agree that if it comes down to a kick... How can you not feel good about? What do you call him, Nick?
Big Kick Nick.
Yeah.
You know, he just makes me nervous when he says that.
I'm hoping one of these days he's going to screw up.
Well, the other big question is, how do you
hold
feel?
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Andy, why would you? Sorry, I'm sorry about that. Andy, why would you hope that one of these days he screws up?
No, I'm hoping you screw up and don't say kick.
Oh, well, that'll happen. It doesn't matter anyways. That would be an awesome way to get fired in the first place.
But that's like, not fireable offense.
Bass is... whatever. I'll take the 2-week suspension, please. Bass is not a bad kicker by any stretch, and obviously he's had to deal with the environment just like everybody else, and we haven't had to hear about him having to kick a cylinder block the same way everyone else will have to in these sort of Arctic to subarctic conditions. We go past what Christian Fourier said... and having to go to scuba gear and ski shops and everything else. And I've heard all sorts of tale of the kinds of crazy game day stuff that these guys do, literally putting chili powder in their socks and in their gloves so that they can try to keep their...
Heats it up,
Eric
baby.
Eric Smith, the safety from the Jets 10 years ago, told me at an event that in that super freezing AFC championship against the Steelers where they had an early lead, but then the Steelers came back and won it, that... they literally put chili powder in their socks and in their gloves so that like their hands would start to like mesh, the powder would mesh with the sweat and they would actually sort of feel heat off of their fingertips because you couldn't feel your face. You couldn't feel any of your extremities. It was so cold. So these guys do crazy stuff, which is why I wouldn't be surprised if this game starts off a little wonky and it takes everyone a little while to acclimate, not just to the cold, but getting hit and trying to run and catch the ball and make special teams plays and punt the ball in the cold. The first quarter tonight, as much as I would love to see, Andy, the big play action pass we were talking about, or you know, Josh Allen trying to sling 30 yarders down the seam to Dawson Knox, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a very sort of like jab centric first or second round of a 15 round heavyweight fight.
Yeah, and I do think this is, I have no scientific evidence to back this up, but I believe winning in the cold warms you up. Taking a lead, playing from it, making plays.
But they haven't been able to do that, Andy.
That's why it's even more important.
And when Fitzy talks about the game starting out wonky, that's concerning. I do want to go back to something that you mentioned about hitting in the cold, because this is from Good Morning Football just today, previewing the game, and I thought it raises what could be a significant issue for at least one guy on the Patriots.
You talk about the weather, you talk about the cold, and D-Haw, I know you know this, man. Tackling will be of a premium, right? When you got guys running the football and, you know, you got shoulder pads and helmets and stuff on and it's cold outside, it actually hurts the defender to actually try to tackle ball carriers.
Should I be worried about Matthew Judon tonight?
Sure. I don't.
Yes, because he's probably playing with an injury.
He's been a difference maker through most of this, and we know that something is not right with those ribs. He told us as much this week when he threatened to tackle Chris Mason, a beat writer, or I guess offered to.
Do you know the not only was the last sack, the last impact play, of course, he gets held every other play too, but I'm not going to go to the Twitter Patriots fan card on that one just yet. Judon's last impactful play, his last sack, came against the Bills on Monday Night Football 5-6 weeks ago. Obviously, he's been holding on to some injury that he's not disclosing fully. Wouldn't be surprised if they get bumped tonight that he ends up having surgery or we find out to what extent it is. But when Matt Judon has a sack, this is how much of a difference this guy makes. When Judon has a sack in the game, the Patriots are 8-2. So the idea of being able to not only corral and contain Josh Allen, but make him hold on to the ball, and his stats go way down when it takes him 3 seconds or longer to throw a ball. If you can get pressure on him tonight the way Matt Judon used to be able to do and make him hold on to the ball for 2.5 seconds or longer, that's one of the advantages the Patriots are going to need again to keep this game close.
Especially with, in all likelihood, Barmore either not out there
compromised,
or a shell of... I find it hard to believe he's even going to be out there. I find it hard to believe that 6 days after getting carted off in tears and Mike Reese kind of insinuating that maybe this is a surgery off-season type issue, I find it hard to believe Barmore is going to be out there. So you maybe know Barmore, and then what percentage are you getting from Judon? Again, that's a tough formula to try to beat Josh Allen. Another reason to just let him run the ball.
And Mego, you said about, you know, the idea of hitting and how it's going to hurt and who is this going to be advantaged toward. And they were talking on Good Morning Football about it actually hurts the defenders to hit. Number one, we still don't know what Kyle Duggar's status is. I guess we'll find out when the inactives are listed at 6:45 tonight. Tail has been told that he was sort of hid or managed his availability this week from the from the media, rather, so we don't know if his hand is going to be wrapped, if it's going to be in a cast, if he's going
to
have a
club. Are you referring to at practice that he wasn't out there during the media portion of practice, which is essentially stretching like a couple ladder workouts and things that we don't even get to totally see at this point because of COVID protocols?
Yeah, they manipulate that. They sometimes don't have guys out there, and then they pop up as, oh, they were limited, and you're like, wait a minute, I was out there, I didn't see him. Well, yeah, he came out.
So, Fitzy, what are you proposing is happening with him?
I think he's going to play, but to what extent he'll be able to use his downhill tackling and physicality if one of his hands is slightly, if not severely, compromised, that could be something that would be advantage Buffalo. And when Rodney Harrison was on earlier this week with Merlone and Fourier, he talked about, as a safety, as a hard-hitting safety, something Kyle Duggar is, that you love to go out there and make these big hits and then make them start feeling the cold and let them know that there's more of that out there for them. I think Rodney Harrison described it, Andy, as stealing their soul with every big hit in the cold.
Yeah, and he had great experience against the Colts and Marvin Harrison, he brought up. Now, that was a true dome team. That was a soft team and a soft receiver, a skinny. He made a career of catching the ball and diving
down. It's
funny
you say that, though, Andy. I apologize. But it's funny you say that because between the two teams, the Bills seem almost more dome team-esque.
Yes.
They're very emotional.
Yes.
I feel like that, yeah, sensitive, emotional. We saw after the Monday night game that they lost, we saw Poyer flip out.
And that's why I've said this.
We saw the coach mention, say, like, don't give too much to Bill Belichick. I mean, you can get inside these guys' heads.
And Patriots fans have gotten very sensitive. We had somebody say, all right, I'm your biggest fan, but on this day.
I'm sorry, they've gotten sensitive.
Stop, yes.
Here, fans are sensitive.
Stop saying all the positive feelings are wrong and whatever. Put your unbiased opinions away just for today. But one of my unbiased opinions is the Bills can lose this game. I don't know that the Patriots can win it. I'm pretty sure the Bills can lose it because I think they're sensitive. I think their quarterback is thinking and talking too much about the cold. Their best receiver, an all-pro, is telling the quarterback, don't throw it so hard, it's going to hurt. Like, they're in their heads already, and I don't trust their head coach any more than I trust them. He can crap on himself, too. He didn't do it at Gillette. I thought he did a great job that week. But they are a soft, dome, mental and physical type football team,
And I actually think that's the Patriots' best chances to advance. The Bills just lose it for you.
You brought up the coach. Let's go to Paulie because he has something to talk about. Coaching. Paulie, you're on.
Hey, what's up? First, before I get to that, Meg, I want to go over the names of your team with the Commanders. That is so corny. It's such a joke. Don't do it with the
Commanders. We don't know yet. We don't know. We just know it's not going to be the Wolves, which I'm really disappointed about. I know that's one of the names on the list, though. I know.
He made the finals. The Commander McBrags. Oh, my God. Please, God, no.
So bad. Nothing can save that franchise, Paulie.
I see my Masons didn't make the list, which is sad. But I like Presidents and Redhawks. Both those names are suitable.
Right. We will have plenty of time in February to talk about our names, but you wanted to talk about something with Belichick here.
Right, I know. I just wanted to run that by you quick. But, yeah, I mean, Coach is already screwing up. Let me tell you something. I took Buffalo in the family pool, the 4.5 in the family pool a couple of days ago. When I heard he's bringing Wilkerson up from the practice squad, I said, he's wising up. There's going to be some serious changes. And I thought they would be indicating changes on both sides of the ball. And I thought Harry would be sat, but now he's not activating him. I don't know what kind of a move this is. Bring him up, but don't activate him. I really don't understand. Perhaps, Andy, you could explain that to me.
Sure.
That is definitely sending the wrong.
Thank you, Paulie.
Wait,
we got it.
Thanks, Paulie. Okay.
Wait a sec.
We got to jump because we got to go to Mike.
Andy. Got to go. Bye. Sorry. Bye. I can explain that to you. Well, I can make
it. Sorry, Paulie. You can call back, but Andy, we got to get to this right before break. So quick thought here.
I don't understand this fascination with Wilkerson, first of all. I know he had a good game, but it is what it is.
That's
he is
it.
A backup receiver from the practice
squad. And he played instead of N'Keal Harry, which is why people are excited about him.
But N'Keal Harry has established himself as one thing in the National Football League, a blocker as a wide receiver. And aren't we talking about wanting the Patriots to run the football? So do you want N'Keal Harry on the field blocking, or do you want Christian Wilkerson?
We just don't have enough data from Christian Wilkerson's blocking. Maybe he's an incredible blocker.
Well, he's not as big N'Keal and not Harry. As strong, right? So if I'm Christian Wilkerson, I would retire now and just live with this idea that Patriot Nation will forever think you were this Jerry Rice that got away and never got his shot. Because he has grown so popular the last couple of weeks, it really is amazing.
I don't think that there's a lot of money in that game plan, but I hear what you're saying there. We are going to jump to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Patriots-Bills matchup and get to some of the quarterback questions that you certainly have and that I'm sure you want to hear about. So stick around with us on WEEI.
For Boston Sports Talk now, this is Fizzy and Mego on EEI.
You know you make me want to shout, kick my heels up. And
holy crap, this is rude. Diz, what are you doing?
I'm trying to get into the spirit.
I did not condone this.
Why not?
Because this is a Boston station and you're playing Shout.
So what's the Patriots song we're going to play?
I guess it would probably be Crazy Train, right?
I guess, yeah.
No, for the in-stadium game, it's Josie. This is what Buffalo plays whenever they score their momentum-building song, the one the fans sing, Let's Go Buffalo.
I have to say, because I grew up cheering for a team in the NFC, I didn't realize that this was so attached to the Bills until I started requesting it. It's my favorite wedding song. So I started requesting it at a couple New England weddings, and people would, like, throw up their hands at me and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I believe it
was. And I was like, excuse me, I want to sizzle my bacon on the dance floor.
Excuse me? You just made me uncomfortable.
It's from Animal House, sizzling bacon.
I believe this was I used to work for Patriots Football Weekly, the team newspaper.
Whoa, big brag.
I believe theirs was called Shout. I believe it was the name of their publication was
really?
Called Shout. I believe so.
I know it now, but I didn't know growing up, not having grown up in this region and, you know, following NFC way closer than AFC.
You weren't a Fred Smirlis fan growing up?
No.
Why are you laughing?
Smirlis. All right, let's go to
Why is she laughing, Fitzy?
It's just a funny name. Mike from Framingham. Mike, you're on with Fitzy Mego and Andy Hart. Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, two things. First off, you were talking about N'Keal Harry blocking.
Yes.
If you're talking about a wide receiver blocking, you might as well put an eligible receiver in there because obviously they're going to have to put another safety in. It's better when you have cover two, and then that's when you run. When you have a receiver that can actually catch, it actually helps the running game. And the other thing, too, was that guy that said that Belichick stopped the K-gun. It was the Giants' running game that stopped the K-gun. If you look at Thurman Thomas' stats, he destroyed the Giants. He probably would have been the MVP if they won.
Yes. But, no. Mike, like, that offense was awesome.
Thank you, Mike.
They ran the ball. That was a game plan where it was complementary. The defense did its job. The offense did its job. Although my cohort, Paul Perillo, always likes to point out, I think the Bills scored like a point a minute. Like, when they had the ball, they scored. They just didn't have the ball enough.
Fitzy?
Yes, because it was because the idea, and that's a game plan that Belichick has trotted out on a number of occasions, usually against high-powered shotgun-based offenses where draw plays and pitches left and right are the running game staples. We saw it used against the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning in his prime, the early years with NoSean Moreno at running back. You saw it used against the K-gun. Thurman Thomas, run all you want, but that's the whole thing. The longer they're on the field, if it takes them 9 minutes to go 63 yards, but all they get is a field goal, Belichick chalks that up as a win.
Yep.
It's sort of like whatever the defensive equivalent of that's the quintessence of bend but don't break. That's exactly what they want to do.
Quintessence.
Yes, I know. Sorry about somewhere Lou Maloney is like, would somebody please tell Fitzy to stop using his thesaurus on the radio? That's the definition.
I like
that's
it.
The bookmark.
The quintessence. Let's go to Jeff in Attleboro. Jeff, you're on.
Oh, hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Jeff?
So I'm wondering, like, listen, I'm excited about the game. I'm glad we made the playoffs.
You
but
sound
I mean,
excited. I'm happy, Jeff.
Jeff, I want you to know I'm happy to hear that. We all should be happy that they made the playoffs. Absolutely.
Listen, if it's not today, though, if Buffalo doesn't beat us, Kansas City definitely is. So my question is, going forward, Matt Corral, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Jones has been all right, but he's not the future. We got to find a real quarterback going forward. Do you think we should trade up in next year's draft, and who do you think we should go for if we do?
Yes! I'm not the most negative one on the show anymore.
Thank you, Jeff.
No, I don't. I think they have a quarterback.
Trade up for a quarterback?
And certainly not Matt Corral. Didn't he just break his ankle in the bowl game? He got carted off early in the bowl game. You can stay put, maybe get him as a value pick later if you're not set with Mac. But
has the end of this season changed the way that you feel about Mac Jones as the guy versus a guy?
Not at all. And I continue to say this fixation on Mac Jones is unfair to him. Let's fixate on the offense. And I would ask
well,
you,
he's a big part of that, Andy.
Yep. You know who's also a big part of it? The lack of anyone with even a hint of Pro Bowl caliber talent around him. He doesn't have any go-to guys. He has the hardest job of any quarterback in the postseason, in my opinion, because he's running a passing attack where he just has to go perfectly through his reads. What's the defense giving me? Who's going to be open? Because he doesn't just throw to Gronk. Throw to Stephon Diggs. He doesn't have a go-to guy.
His pass catchers are a mile wide and an inch deep is what it is. They all are similar skill sets. There's no shifty slot receiver. There's no guy who can really explode with speed other than Nelson Aguilar, and we just haven't seen him have any production downfield so far this season.
So to put this all on Mac and say all of a sudden Mac, who's a rare rookie quarterback who led his team to the postseason, or even if you don't want to use the word led, we'll use Wiggy's passengered his team. He rode with the team into the postseason. I'm sorry. I'm very comfortable where his development will go. If you get him, I'd rather trade up. If you want to trade up and get whoever you think the next Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or truly elite go-to big play wide receiver is.
Or just go to Atlanta, who's going to have to uncouple from their true established. I'd even rather go get a wide receiver. Now, I understand that he's had some psychological and emotional issues, and I feel for him on that. But if he's able to get his head and his heart right, and Calvin Ridley would like to play professional football again, then why not go get someone who has shown that he not only has Sunday talent, but can do it consistently on Sundays? I would package. I'd do a second. I'd do 2 seconds and Isaiah Wynn. Hell, I'd do Isaiah Wynn and a first to Atlanta in a heartbeat if they need to get rid of Calvin Ridley or want to move on from that and give this kid a second chance, reunite him to a degree. I know he wasn't the starter back when Calvin Ridley was finishing up his career at Alabama, but you give him a legitimate number one, as we saw in the development process with Josh Allen, because Lord only knows if we all decided to bail on Josh Allen when he had all of Uncle Rico's arm strength, but was as wild as you get his rookie year in the NFL, he wouldn't be playing today. Of course, Mac Jones is the answer at quarterback. Mego, what it has done is it's made us all realize how much more impressive it was that he was able to get off to the fast start that he got, and how good the coaching was, and how difficult it is to play quarterback when you're a traditional-style pocket passer. So help me God, if we get one more caller, Ken and Curtis dealt with one, I had to deal with one, that kind of went viral because somebody ripped the audio and shared it on a number of sites and blogs the day after they lost to Buffalo. Someone else calling up saying, he's got a rag arm. We need a rocket arm. He's not a playmaker. He's substandard at best. Come on, guys. Really? I mean, this kid can play, and the Patriots are lucky that they got him where they did. It's just really difficult to do what he does, especially in these conditions. Tonight could go a long way in establishing or resetting how people view Mac Jones.
A passenger on this football team.
Okay. Oh,
except now he's picking
lady.
Mac to win the game or something.
People can change their minds. Eh. You know, you can have an evolving
feels
opinion.
Like a shtick hot take.
I personally am not a huge believer in the rookie wall when it comes to the NFL. I certainly believe in it in the NBA, but for the NFL, it's just, it's not so many more games than in college, so I never really got it. But I think when you come down to the quarterback, a rookie quarterback position, a rookie quarterback who's starting every single game, and particularly in Mac Jones's position where he had to beat out Cam Newton in training camp, I think that it's a rookie wall situation.
I do, too.
And I think that that is the explanation for why his sharpness has fallen off so much. And we know that his strengths are above the neck, right? He's a great processor, uh-huh. and he's a great decision maker, and he's very professional. And I think we've seen some of that fall off just from physical and mental fatigue in his rookie year.
You got it there.
Thank you.
The mental fatigue is – I think he is – we all know he's wound really tight, which – is probably a strength and a weakness at various points in his life and his career. And I think this has been a grind for him mentally. And you said it, not the season. He, from day one, was fighting with Cam the job in a weird battle where he was never really...
Going back to May and June.
Yeah, so I do think he is wound really tight. So unwind him a little bit in the offseason and then wind him back up with somebody like... I'll take Calvin Ridley. You want to put Calvin Ridley on this team? Now, I've seen that trade a lot. I don't know why the Falcons would want anything to do with Isaiah Wynn at over $10 million. That never made any sense to me. I would want draft picks if I'm them. But I'll take Calvin Ridley.
Jacoby Myers, Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, these have all been steady pass catchers for Mac Jones through this season, some of them developing more at different times. But there's nobody out there who really makes his life so much easier.
Nope.
The way that a Julian Edelman... did
Gronk.
For Brady.
Any
or
of
I
those
mean Gronk
guys.
Like to say, well, they should just get a Gronk. I mean, yeah, every team should
no, but
just
it's the
get
same
a Gronk.
Thing. I don't care whether the guy is Edelman and you know he's so quick he's gonna get open in the slot and I can just feed it to him in 1.7 seconds,
mm-hmm.
or it's Gronk is bigger and stronger and I can go down the seam and throw it there and know he's gonna go whatever the way the guy gets the ball, just a guy that I feel good saying when I break the huddle. I'm going to Gronk. I'm
and
not thinking about
taking
it.
Taking some of that pressure off of having to go through every single read or go immediately
yes.
to the checkdown, which we've been seeing him do much more of recently.
The best asset that Mac Jones has is the running game, and an effective running game is probably his best ally on this offense. This is a 3-year-long running issue from 2019 Brady, who kind of fell, went in the can and started pouting after Antonio Brown was released. Last year they had no weapons. Kind of makes you sympathize a little bit, not that much, but a little bit with what Cam Newton undertook last year. Now Mac Jones was given a complement of talent, a bunch of B-minus receivers who can sometimes elevate to a B-plus or an A-minus depending on the play, like a Kendrick Bourne against Dallas. Jonnu Smith has been a disappointment. I'm putting it mildly because I'm super excited for the playoffs and I'm trying to stay Pats positive today, Andy. But yeah, nobody out there is a... AFC championship against the Chiefs, it's either going to Edelman or it's going to Gronk because you trust your playmakers. That's why Nelson Aguilar got paid the most to come in at wide receiver tonight. This guy's got to show up. He had an awesome year last year with Derek Carr. I know he didn't play in the wintry conditions. He didn't have a concussion last year. This is someone who needs to show up. He'll stretch the field just enough to give them a chance to move around and reestablish the ground game, which is going to be freezing cold, which is what my guy Zach Gelb will be telling us about in a couple minutes, Mego.
All right, well, this is the B to B minus preview show on WEEI to the Patriots-Bills game at 8:15. We're going to be talking Patriots for the next 2 hours. We see you with your full phone lines, and we will get to you. Give us a call at 617-779-7937 right after the break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.